offered to take part in this virtual convivium dedicated to several subjects whose deep complementarity, in my opinion, appears more and more eloquent in relation of the cosmological and ontological situation we live in this curious period. The topic of my speech, of this little speech, will be dedicated to the theme of radical subject, the humankind, which has declared war to postmodernism in all its form. However, focusing on this theory and phenomenology, this opposition cannot be analyzed in a simplistic way. The goal of the figure we are talking about, the successor of the differentiated man portrayed by the Italian philosopher Julius Evola in his book Ride the Tiger of 1961, is not to reject entirely and uncritically this period, but to exploit it in order to reach a metaphysical condition, even unknown to other historical and cyclical situations, following the so-called left-hand path, which has seen some exponents even in European country, from the negative theology to the distinction made by Meister Eckhart between God and Gottheit, the possibility to reach any level superior, basing not to affirmation but to negation. Consequently, the birth and the rise of radical subjects, the midnight sun that we can consider the last solstitial fire between the final nightfall, needs two conditions. First of all, a peculiar cosmic situation in which formulas and methods of the past reveals useless. In second hand, a certain way to approach this situation. The situation, to begin, is the one we live in. It's a postmodern world. To analyze it, we need new tools, new conceptual grammars, new cartographies. We face a reality post-materialistic, post-political, post-human. In this condition, even the traditional anti-modernism appears anachronistic. We live in a new world whose rules need new arguments to be understood and consequently to be fought. The new world has fluidified reality, character, sexual genders, politics, ethnoi, traditions, and peoples, opening wide on a field dominated by elementary force, naked forces, unprovided by destination, meaning, and telos. There are two ways to face this new condition, a pestilence which spread in the four corners of the world, transcending tradition and modernity. We can give up, renouncing to understand the world that has been given to us, regret a past that can no longer return, basing of conservatism, etc. But there is another solution too, which turns out to be relevant in the contemporary times, which is the dry path taught by the Hermetic tradition. This solution could be called the one of radical subject, which the logical and ontological conclusion of all the contemporary paths of science and philosophy, sociology and history of religions. I have chosen a philosophical way, basing on my personal equation. In the second period of his career, of his intellectual career, after the publication of Being and Time, Sein und Zeit, and after what we call his turning point, the so-called Kehre, Martin Heidegger tried to elaborate a new vocabulary in order to picture the historical and meta-historical destination of Western culture, whose theoretical evolution reveals a growing and irrevocable Seinvergessenheit, the oblivion of being. This oblivion is not a form of annihilation. The oblivion of being is not unbeing. In Greek, sein, being, is to-on, and non-being is me-on. But the oblivion of being is not me-on, is something else. It's a reduction of being in the form of a thing. The objectivization is the destiny of Western philosophy, of Western history of philosophy, basing of Heidegger. Even God, explains Heidegger, is portrayed as a thing, as a summum ens in creatum, but not the being itself. The poisonous effect of this objectivization are totally displayed today. The society of materialism, of free exchange, the open society announced by the so-called Sir Karl Popper are the last effects of this reductionism. For a certain point of view, basing on Heidegger's argument, the social abortion, the Luciferian golem animated by liberal sorcerers, is the final step of a vector more ancient. However, as we were going to say, in the last year of this production, Heidegger, after the encounter with the abyssal philosophy of Friedrich Nietzsche, tried to portray the conception of being using a new language, able to show a different liaison between being and time, sein and Zeit. In a dialogue, in a famous dialogue with the German writer Ernst Jünger, Heidegger proposes to write the term being with a cross, covered by a St. Andrew's cross in this way. The meaning of this representation is based on the fact that today we can refer to the being only starting from his eradication, his oblivion, that's to say, crossed. It's a peculiar way of expression of being itself. This is fundamental. Far from being a promotion of annihilation, this is a declination of being. The oblivion of being, the crossing of this concept, belongs to the history of being itself. But the meaning of this cross can be declined in another direction. In an essay published a few years before the dialogue of Jünger called Die Sache, The Thing, Heidegger writes about the Gefährt, the fourfold, the occult meaning of St. Andrew's cross, which will cover the concept of being. In Die Sache, the Gefährt shows the occult link between that which is below and that which is above, using the terms contained in Emerald Tabe, Tabula Smaragdina. The fourfold reciprocally connects and unifies sky and earth, mortals and gods, quoting Hermet Trismegistus, through the miracle of the one only thing. To summarize and to conclude this double refraction, that's the two-faced meaning of the cross. First of all, the cross indicates the negation of a certain path, of a certain aspect, that's to say the oblivion of being. On the other hand, it includes the announce of a larger horizon, which involves several plans of reality. So the Gefährt involve at the same time a sacrifice and a resurrection, the initiatory death and celestial rebirth. Pay attention, this duplicity can appear only in the moment in which being is completely forgotten. At that point, and only at that point, the opening of a new horizon can begin. Many traditions have known and described this interstitial state, this vision height, in which the old values are no longer valid, they are dead, reduced, but the new values still do not appear. Just an example, in tantrism, this state is the apical pose between Pravritti Marga, which is the descending path dominated by the Shakti, and Nivritti Marga, which is patrocinated by the solar Shiva. But what does the radical subject have to do with this definition, with the duplicity of the crucifixion of being? As you all know, Heidegger describes man, to put it extremely simply, naturally, as Dasein, literary being there, in Italian is esserci. Dasein as a privileged relation with being, as an exclusive relation with being. Man, or better, the authentic being of man, is the place where being opens up, reveals, becomes an event, an eregnis. To conclude, I propose you this definition. If Dasein is the subject, is the actor of fourth political theory, I propose you to represent the radical subject in this way. Using a formula that, as far as I know, no one has used. The radical subject is the Dasein which opens to a particular state of the being, which is at the same time a negation and a supreme affirmation. The radical subject, crucified to being, places himself in the interference of Gefirt, in his essential duplicity, between the negation of all that must be denied and the affirmation of a new universe, of a new ontological plan, only in the stream twilight, in the midnight of history. The radical subject is the moment in the history of being that is situated in the conjunction between an order that collapses and a plan that opens for the first time among the ruins. He doesn't want to go back. He prefers to hear the frozen voice of the hand, the eschatological whisper of a dismembered world in the hand of Gog and Magog, Coca and Vicoca. This is his ontological and metaphysical battlefield. This must be our battlefield too, the radical subject and the moment of his birth, our existential horizon. As Jean Parvulescu said, our inner solstice, whose animus is the promise of a new equinox, our spiritual front. Thank you.